Chapter 20. Owen. Our solemn duty is to protect the borders of the realms of men. I recite the ranger's oath in my mind as I sprint over rocks and brush. Never thought I'd be fighting demons outside those borders, but here we are once again. Delicately grasping my 5 improvised arrows, I lead the charge away from camp, running along the dusty trail heading toward the hills. Behind me, Zara and the slave boy struggle to keep up, and I consciously slow my steps to avoid outpacing them. Still, we close the distance quickly and soon enter a rock-strewn ravine. "Zara," I say breathlessly, turning toward her and slowing down, "tell him to lead the way, if you can." She nods, then begins speaking haltingly to our young follower. At first he frowns in confusion, then suddenly seems to understand. Saying something unintelligible, he immediately takes off running through the ravine. "Thanks," I say appreciatively, amazed at how well she's learned to communicate with him. "Don't mention it," she replies, quickly tucking loose strands of hair behind her ear as we go after him. He leads us down a winding trail through the hills, passing boulders and thickets of snarly, jagged thorn bushes on the way. Soon I pick up the telltale signs of a struggle, as well as the tracks of something large. Scuff marks mar the dirt and broken branches litter the path. As we delve further into the hills, we begin to pass bodies, bloody and studded with enormous quills. The boy grimaces and avoids these corpses, eventually making it to a wide valley nestled between 3 large hills. In the middle, a rocky ridge juts up from the ground, upon which stands a huddled mass of about 20 slaves, all cowering in terror. Beneath the ridge, bristling like a giant porcupine, squats a manticore, similar to the one Zara and I had faced before. It paws up at the slaves, trying to nab them with its sharp-toothed jaws. "Wait a moment," I growl, grabbing the boy by the back of his shirt and pulling him back before he can charge headlong into the demon's line of sight. "We need a plan." Crouching, Zara explains something to him, and he finally seems to understand. "This isn't good," I mutter, peeking out to get a better look at the creature. It seems even larger than the one we'd battled the last time, and enraged with bloodlust, clawing and shrieking at the cowering slaves. "I thought they only came out at night," Zara says, coming up beside me. "It was dusk when we fought off that other one." "Not sure," I reply, unslinging my bow. "Maybe it was disturbed while it was sleeping?" One of the slaves on the outside of the huddled mass gets caught by the monster's stinging tail. We watch in horror as it uses its barb like a spear, stabbing a hole in his chest and flinging him off the rock, his bleeding corpse flying into a thicket of bushes many paces away. "Hells," I curse. "This is going to be harder than I thought. The reach of its tail makes this tricky." "You think you can do some damage with those arrows?" Zara asks, hopefully. "Maybe," I reply. "If I can get a decent shot. Those quills are another problem. It's like it's wearing body armor or something." "Every suit of armor has a weakness," she replies. "You'll just have to find it." "Easy for you to say," I mutter before giving directions. "First things first. We need to draw it away from those people so they can escape. Then we can focus on trying to kill it." She grasps the dagger I'd given her in both hands. "All right," she says. I knock an arrow, but it feels woefully inadequate compared to my old bow, though it should do the job if I'm careful. "I'll get the demon's attention. You get them to safety." She nods, preparing herself to run. Sucking in a breath, I emerge from my hiding place and draw, pulling the arrow to my cheek and taking aim down the uneven shaft. Seconds later, I loose, the bow snapping the arrow forward and sending it flying in a wide arc. My aim is a little off, but I still manage to hit the thing in its less spiny flank, causing it to turn its glowing red gaze toward me. "Okay," I think, slinging the bow on my shoulder. "Here we go." The demon lets out a roar and turns from the rocky ridge, lumbering toward my position at an alarmingly fast rate. I sprint to the side, scrambling over rocks and making my way up one of the hills in an attempt to escape. As expected, the demon gives chase, opening the way for Zara and the boy to aid the other slaves. I'm not able to watch them, however, as I'm too busy running for my life. The broken terrain works to my advantage, the manticore having to circumvent many obstacles in order to follow my path, but it still manages to get close enough to launch a volley of knife-like spines. They plunk like crossbow bolts all around me, and I dive for cover behind a boulder. Once the barrage stops, I resume my mad dash, cursing myself for agreeing to this whole rescue mission in the first place. Should have just lain low and waited for all of this to blow over, I think, taking a zigzag pattern along the side of the hill. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see Zara helping the slaves off the rock and toward the ravine leading back to camp. They move quickly, but not as fast as I'd prefer. The manticore lets out another roar and lashes forward with its tail. The attack comes up short, the barb gouging the dirt a few paces away from me. 11. Hells, that was close! I'll need to put more distance between us, or I'll end up with a hole in my chest like that man did. I search about for anything that can be used to kill the thing. A precariously perched rock, a bottomless pit, anything at all. But nothing stands out as being even remotely useful. Putting my head down, I push myself harder, racing up the hill to outrun the ferocious demon. It's working, I think, hearing its footsteps receding behind me. Not so fast now, are you, you spiny bastard? A grin splits my sweat-streaked face, but a quick glance over my shoulder reveals that the demon has turned to face the remaining slaves straggling behind, who'd not yet exited the valley. Losing interest in me, it begins making its way back toward them. Cursing, I skid to a halt and ready my bow, quickly calculating the distance between us as I knock an arrow. I shoot twice in rapid succession, the missiles soaring into the beast's back. It bellows in anger and turns to regard me once more. For an instant, it looks torn over which target to pursue. Slinging my bow back over my shoulder, I pick up a rock and hurl it in an effort to coax it into coming after me again. It works. The demon claws its way up the hill, throwing quills and roaring so loudly that its voice reverberates throughout the valley. I flee, drawing it further away from the ravine and allowing the last of the slaves to escape. One of the quills grazes my left shoulder, slicing a bright line of pain across my skin. It isn't a deep wound, but it still hurts like the hells themselves. I continue running until I hear Zara call out, her voice echoing from the other side of the valley. Glancing in her direction, I can see her making her way toward the center ridge alone with the quill dagger in hand. The demon, still intent on killing me, continues to clamber toward my position, so I pivot and begin making my way to the center of the valley as well. The ridge should provide us with enough cover to avoid the creature's tail or quills, at least until we can come up with a plan to kill it. I push hard, coming dangerously close to being skewered as I leap from stone to stone, but eventually I make it to the ridge, dashing around the other side just as Zara reaches me. "They're safe," she breathes, strands of hair sticking messily out of her ponytail as she gasps for air. "Now for the hard part." "I have 2 arrows left," I reply, just as winded. "From what I can tell, its neck and face are its weak points. I just need to be in the right position." She opens her mouth to respond, but the demon's maw appears around the corner of the rock, its red eyes blazing as it lets out another deafening roar. We scramble to get away from it, running along the perimeter of the ridge to escape its jagged teeth. Luckily, the beast has a difficult time following us, the path too narrow for its hulking body. As we round the bend, I catch a glimpse of a large porous rock close to the side of the ridge. An idea forms in my mind, a desperate ploy to possibly trap the demon. "We just passed a black rock full of holes. Did you see it?" She nods. "When we pass it again, I want you to get behind it. I'll distract the demon. When I give the word, I want you to come out and attack its tail. Have your dagger ready." She nods again, gripping the quill dagger as if her life depends on it. "You're either a genius or a bloody idiot," I think, preparing myself for what I'm about to do. "Light almighty, I'm going to need your help on this one. Don't let me down." The demon is still following us when we come back to the porous rock. It doesn't even seem to be tiring from the chase. Slowing down, I motion for Zara to run up ahead. Then, turning, I launch one of my 2 remaining arrows at the creature's face as it rounds the corner. The arrow hits its snout and snaps in 2, but the sudden attack causes the beast to stumble just a bit, enough for Zara to get into position behind the rock. Bow still in hand, I fall into a defensive stance, backing up until I'm right against the pocked surface of the stone, a clear path between me and the demon. My heart pounds like a drum in my chest, real fear gripping me as the scorpion-like tail comes within range. This is it, I think, preparing myself to spring. Light make me swift. The manticore approaches, saliva dripping from its jaws as it raises its tail to strike. Lunging forward with lightning speed, it brings its blade-like barb down to stab me in the chest, the movement cutting the air with a swish. At the last second, I jump out of the way, diving into a nearby tangle of thorn bushes. The gnarled branches rip through my skin and clothing, but I barely notice the pain. It's much better than being speared through the heart. Unable to stop its strike, the quill-backed demon drives its tail straight into the stone, jabbing it with enough force to send shockwaves through the earth. Rock chips burst forth from the blow, but when the dust clears, I can see that my gamble has paid off. The barb is now embedded deep into the stone, held fast like a nail driven into wood. "Zara, now!" I shout, prying myself from the thorn bushes. "It's stuck!" She emerges from her hiding spot, eyes wide as she watches the demon shriek and struggle to pull itself free. After only a moment's hesitation, she bears down on the tail, stabbing it repeatedly in the flesh just beneath the barb. Purplish ichor spills out of the wound and onto the dusty ground, and the demon lets out a high-pitched wail of pain, thrashing in place but unable to attack her. When it finally manages to pull its tail free, its barb is broken, its tail a pulpy, bloody mess. Zara scrambles backward as it pulls away, but I race toward it, having successfully extricated myself from the snarl of bushes. The demon bares its teeth at me, its quills bristling as I approach, but I draw my final arrow and loose, aiming directly at its hideous face. The arrow goes deep, almost to the fletching, the shaft puncturing one of its eyes and driving deep into its brain. The beast shudders, its other eye growing dim, and then collapses in a heap. Its breath leaves its lungs with a whoosh before growing still. The valley becomes strangely quiet. Shaking, I fall to my knees, amazed that my insane plan actually worked.
"Light almighty,"
Zara breathes, shuffling over and throwing her arms around me.
"I can't believe we did it. Again."
I wince as she touches the numerous wounds marring my limbs, and she releases me.
"Oh, sorry, Owen."
"Don't worry about it," I mumble, staggering to my feet. "I can't believe we did it either." The demon's body twitches a couple times where it lays in the dirt. Blood oozes from its punctured eyeball, dribbling to the thirsty ground and forming a small dark puddle. Its mouth hangs open, revealing rows of serrated teeth and a long wet tongue that looks like a hunk of meat left out to dry. As we exit the ravine, still clinging to each other, we see that most of the slaves are there watching us, their eyes wide with amazement. We pause, not really sure what to make of them. They regard us with awe and respect, like immortal deities, not strangers. Not really knowing what else to do, I raise my fist clutching the short bow into the air. They cheer wildly.